Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna is the source of all incarnations, text number 33. Yatra me sad asad rupe pati siddhe sva samvida avidyayatmani krite iti tad brahma darshanam. Yatra, whenever, ime, in all deeds, sat asat, gross and subtle, rupe, in the forms of, pratisiddhe, on being nullified, swasamvida, by self-realization, avidyaya, by ignorance, atmani, in the self, krite, having been imposed, iti, thus, tat, that is, brahmadarshanam, the process of seeing the Absolute. Translation. Whenever a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. Translation responsibly. When a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The difference between self-realization and material illusion is to know that the temporary or illusory impositions of material energy in the shape of gross and subtle bodies are superficial coverings of the self. The coverings take place due to ignorance. Such coverings are never effective in the person of the personality of Godhead. Knowing this convincingly is called liberation, or seeing the Absolute. This means that perfect self-realization is made possible by adoption of godly or spiritual life. Self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about the activities of the self. The impetus for activities is generated from the self, but such activities become illusory due to ignorance of the real position of the self. By ignorance, self-interest is calculated in terms of the gross and subtle bodies, and therefore a whole set of activities is spoiled life after life. When, however, one meets the self by proper culture, the activities of the self begin. Therefore, a man who is engaged in the activities of the self is called Jivan Mukta, or a liberated person even in the conditional existence. This perfect stage of self-realization is attained not by artificial means, but under the lotus feet of the Lord, who is always transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is present in everyone's heart, and from Him all knowledge, remembrance, or forgetfulness take place. When the living entity desires to be an enjoyer of material energy, illusory phenomena, the Lord covers the living being in the mystery of forgetfulness, and thus the living being misinterprets the gross body and subtle mind to be his own self. And by culture of transcendental knowledge, when the living being prays to the Lord for deliverance from the clutches of forgetfulness, the Lord, by his causeless mercy, removes the living being's illusory curtain, and thus he realizes his own self. He then engages himself in the service of the Lord in his eternal constitutional position, being liberated from the conditional life. All this is executed by the Lord either through his external potency or directly by the internal potency. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilta Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are almost nearing the end of the third chapter, and this chapter is Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So we have heard the list of incarnations in the previous verses, culminating that in that Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person from whom all other expansions emanate, whether it's Jiva Tattva or Vishnu Tattva. And then in this section describes the universal form of the Lord. So in the universal form of the Lord is especially meant for neophytes, as we have been hearing in the last few classes, that for those who cannot conceive of the Supreme Lord as the transcendental person, for them the universal form is there. So they are basically, they don't have much faith in the personal form of the Lord, and they want to see the Lord with the gross material senses. So as we heard yesterday, that it's not possible to see the Lord with the gross senses, and even it's not even possible to see oneself with the ordinary vision. We require divya drishti, or we require divine vision by which we can see our own true self and Krishna. But for those who cannot see, or those who want to see the Lord immediately, because many people say seeing is believing, therefore in order to show them, to give them a conception of the personality of Godhead, the universal form is given. So the universal form is imaginary because it is actually temporary. So just like our body is also imaginary because it is temporary. It has a beginning, it has an end. And in between, so many activities are taking place. But before and after, the matter is, it just goes back in the earth. And even the material nature is unmanifest, then it becomes manifest, then unmanifest. Like this way, it is imaginary. But the real substance is actually the spiritual self. For those who want to see Krishna immediately, then Krishna shows them, says, here, have a look at the universal form. So the universal form is basically, the entire universe is depicted as the form of the Lord. So it's described that the sun and the moon are the eyes of the Lord. Then the different planetary systems are different parts of the body. The rivers are compared to the veins of the Lord. And then the trees are compared to the hair on the body of the Lord. So in this way, it is an imaginary form of the Lord, for them to have a conception that the Lord has a form. So in this way, when people appreciate nature, then they actually make some advancement, a tiny bit of advancement. So the whole idea is that people make advancements, so different types of self-realization are given. So ultimately it should conclude in Krishna consciousness. So then, in this section it basically is described that there is this ignorance which is actually covering the living entity of their true knowledge. So by nature we are Satchidananda, so full of eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, Chit. So because we are full of knowledge, originally we are aware of a constitutional position which is as servant of Krishna, part and parcel as of the complete whole. But when we are covered by avidya or ignorance, then our real knowledge becomes covered. So the real knowledge is to understand that we are spirit, soul, part of Krishna. But when we come in touch with matter, that becomes covered, and we mistake the self to be the body and the mind, as is described here. So when a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. So genuine self-realization is actually to understand that we are not these bodies, we are actually something beyond, and what we are part of. So in the conditional life, everyone is identifying with the gross and subtle bodies, and this is due to a faulty type of education we are getting in schools and colleges. So we see right from kindergarten to you know, go to high school, primary education, tertiary education, and even more higher education than that. But, you know, whatever we are taught is simply limited to the body and the mind, whatever we are being taught. So, and body and the mind means basically eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So there are so many subjects in universities. You go online and see. You can choose from a catalog. So many subjects are there. But they, again, all are related to the body and to the mind. So whether it's, in other words, it's related to matter, whether it's astrophysics or it's chemistry or physics or media or television or, you know, swimming or exercise, health, medicine, you know, you name it, so many subjects are there, but they are simply related to the body and the mind. Because in conditional life, we mistake the self to the body and mind, therefore we try to find happiness through the body and the mind, through the platform of the body and the mind. But the Vedas describe that we are actually something beyond that. We are not simply the body and the mind. So even if somebody has some intelligence, they will be able to come to the conclusion that they are something beyond the body and the mind. So, and that requires a little bit of contemplation and thoughtfulness. But in today's society, people don't like to contemplate about the reality. They're contemplating about all other kinds of things. So they're contemplating how to find better means of sense gratification. But in a real human society, they would contemplate into the meaning of life. Of course, sometimes people do contemplate what life is all about, but again, they get covered over by their own mind, or they get covered over by the illusory energy. So in that way, they're not able to come to the conclusion that there's something beyond matter. But even if we read Srila Prabhupada's conversations over here, his morning walks, so many times he's establishing the point that we are not the body and the mind, that we are actually something beyond. And even in the second chapter of the Gita, the very first thing which Krishna teaches is that we are the spirit soul, we are not the body and the mind. That the body and the mind are like superfluous coverings of the real self. And when we mistake matter to be the self, then our platform of enjoyment is also wrong. And we even see Arjuna, he mistook the body and the mind to be the self. Of course, that was the Lord's arrangement so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken for our benefit. So, because Arjuna is a liberated associate of the Lord, so he cannot, you know, get covered by Maya. But, of course, by the will of the Lord, he was covered over by the illusory energy so that Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. Same with Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj was, you know, covered by the influence of the illusory energy, by Yoga Maya, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken for our benefit. So, but the basic point is that that we are the spirit soul, and even Krishna teaches that. Krishna's primary instructions. And even Arjun got bewildered into accepting the body as the self. Therefore, he thought, I will not be happy. And therefore, his compassion was also based on wrong grounds. So he was thinking, he was only compassionate to his relatives on the basis of their bodily existence. So he thought that if I kill Bhishma, Drona, my teachers, my well-wishers, then therefore, you know, I won't be happy, or I will be affected by sinful reactions. So in this way, he gave different kinds of arguments which were based on the body. But Krishna said that because you're speaking like a learned man, but in fact you're not, because you have misidentified the self to be matter. So, but actually, the very basic teaching is that we are something beyond the gross body and the mind. And even this can be, though we have heard this so many times in lectures, we come to classes, and we have even read it so many times, but it's actually a matter of acting on that platform. So one thing is to know that we are not the body and the mind, but we are the spirit soul. But another thing is to act on it. Even if you see, even Arjun knew about it. Because if he's talking about sinful reactions, that means that involves karma and reincarnation. So therefore, that means that he's something beyond the body. Otherwise, where's the question of karma and reincarnation? But to act on that platform is another thing. So therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness is actually to bring us to the platform of acting on the spirit soul. So much of our existence is actually based on the body and the mind. We take our body and mind very, very seriously, the demands of the body and the mind. So the body and the mind have their demands, the urges of the body and the mind. So the body has four urges. The body has the urge to eat, has the urge to sleep, to mate and defend. You know, then there are the pangs of hunger, thirst, lamentation. What are the pangs are there? Hunger, thirst. Does anyone remember? Fatigue. What is it? It's there in the Krishna book in the beginning. So these pangs are there. We are being tormented by these pangs. And it's like, you know, when we are hungry, we forget everything else. Then our mind is just occupied with food. You know, we want food, food, food. So in this way, so much of our existence is driven by our body, and we take it so seriously. And even so much of our existence is based on the mind. We take the demands of the mind so seriously. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam. So the demands of the mind. So the mind is, we mistake the mind to be the self. So whatever the mind says, we think that's us and we have to do it. So in this way, the mind is putting forward so many demands, and the body is putting forward so many demands, and people are simply wasting their lives trying to fulfill the demands of the body and the mind. And because that's not the self, it cannot give any substantial happiness. But we are actually taught that, because it says here that one has to become indifferent. Self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about the activities of the self. So, in Krishna consciousness, we have to become indifferent to the needs of the body and the mind. Now, what does that mean, becoming indifferent? Does that mean we totally ignore the body and the mind, meaning indifferent? In some forms of self-realization, they do become very indifferent to the needs of the body and the mind. Like we see in the process of Ashtanga Yoga and other forms of self-realization, that they become more and more indifferent to the needs of the body and the mind. They shun the senses from their sense objects. So gradually they practice austerities to become detached from matter. So even Arjun asks Krishna, because Arjun was confused by Krishna's equivocal instructions. He said, on one hand you are saying that, you know, one should act on the platform of knowledge. So knowledge means inactivity. And on the other hand, you're saying to work in devotion. So what should I do? So both actually lead to Krishna consciousness, but one is easier than the other. So those who engage like in Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga or in Ashtanga Yoga, basically they withdraw the senses from the sense objects. And they go inward. So the whole idea is to understand that we are something beyond the 24 elements or 26, and that the spirit soul is the 26th element. and that the root of everything is Vishnu, and to engage in the service of Vishnu. So that's like more an indirect, they come to that conclusion with their own speculation. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, we directly engage the senses in the service of Rishikesh, the master of the senses. So right from the beginning, we understand that the root is Vishnu, and we engage in the service of the Lord. So they become indifferent, they try to become indifferent to the needs of the body and the mind. So, but that is a very artificial process, it's very difficult, because it's not easy to control the body and the mind with one's own endeavor. So becoming indifferent to the needs of the body and mind means not taking the body and the mind very seriously, which means to become serious about the activities of the self, which is actually devotional service. So we can see how much of our life, how much we are taking our body and mind seriously. So we can weigh up, you know, on one hand we have Krishna consciousness, and on the other hand we have a body and the mind. So there are these two scales. So you can see which we are taking more seriously, which scale goes over. So therefore our life has to be filled up with Krishna conscious activities, because that is our real self-interest. So because people don't know what their self-interest is. I mean, because they're thinking the self is the body, so therefore they think I should satisfy my body and mind, so that is my self-interest. So spiritual activities are not my self-interest. So therefore my priority is to look after my body very nicely. So that could be in the form of economic development, to get comforts for the body, to have a very good exercise program. So like some karmis, they take exercise so seriously. Like some people are so much into nutrition, you know. Okay, you know, as even devotees that is important. We have to look after the body and the mind, because it is Krishna's body and the mind, and it has to be used in self-realization. So it has to be kept in a good shape, but we know that is not the all in all. So even sometimes devotees go in all extremes. Either they won't do any exercise, they won't look after the body and mind, or they'll go on the other extreme, which is totally into all the vitamins, the tablets, you know, exact how many calories are we burning, and you know, just overdo it. But we actually have to strike the right balance. Not, we don't have to overdo it, but we don't have to underdo it also. So that requires some maturity and practice. So, but we see that the karmis, because they mistake what the real self is, therefore all their activities, therefore the whole set of activities is spoiled, life after life. Because they have a wrong understanding of the self. But in a genuine yoga system, as it's described in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that we actually understand what the self is. And such a person is called a Jivan Mukta. So even in Krishna consciousness, of course if we are living in the temple, it's much easier, because all our activities are centered around Krishna. So, you know, we're doing a lot of devotional service. But when we are living outside the temple, then it's a bit tricky. So we have to make sure that we have a healthy diet of devotional service, so that the activities of the body and mind don't become predominant. Still, Krishna consciousness is predominant in our life. So, and for that, therefore, we need a bona fide spiritual master who can actually guide us, that, you know, now maybe you're not, other things are becoming more prominent in your life. You're taking your career too seriously, and to the extent that devotional service is not a priority anymore. So we always have to, there's always this struggle in the material world, that we have to make devotional service as a priority and keep it in the forefront. So it's mentioned here, when a person experiences by self-realization, so only by a genuine process we can realize the self, the real self. So by the process of sadhana bhakti, we can see the Lord as well as ourselves. So the example is given, when the sun comes out, one can see everything. One can see oneself, and one can see one's surroundings also when the sun comes out. But when we are in darkness, we cannot see ourselves, and we cannot see everything around us. So by Krishna consciousness, these two things happen simultaneously. So we understand who we are and we understand who is Krishna. So that is genuine God realization or self realization. Whereas in other forms of self realization, like apart from Bhakti Yoga, they first come to the understanding what the self is, what is Atma. Therefore, they come on the Brahma Bhuta platform. After that, they begin the activities of the real self. So by Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga, it brings you to the platform of Brahma Bhuta platform, and then the activities of the real self begin. But in Bhakti Yoga, right from the beginning, we understand who is Krishna and who we are. So right from day one, we start to, and we know the three levels of God realization: Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And Krishna consciousness is straight away targeting to Bhagavan realization. And this, we come to this level by the process of sadhana bhakti. So by the process of sadhana bhakti, we, by the process of hearing, chanting, remembering, we come to the realization that, you know, that we are actually part and parcel of Krishna, and the purpose of our life is to serve Krishna. And in this day and age, people like to come up with so many processes of self-realization. People say that, you know, you cannot put self-realization in a book. You know, we don't need to follow any book. We can manufacture our own process of self-realization. Whatever we think, that is self-realization. Somebody else doesn't have to tell us. So it is something which comes out of you naturally. So in Kali Yuga, people come up with so many speculations. People like to think that they are spiritual. They like to rubber stamp themselves as spiritual. And because they don't know what spiritual is, therefore something they do which is not out of the ordinary, they think that is spiritual. So whether they think that, okay, if I sit down in silence, that is spiritual. So that is silent meditation is spiritual. But spiritual means which is in relationship to the spirit. So because they come up with so many speculations, they are not able to understand who they really are. Still, their activities are based on the body and the mind. Still, they're acting on the bodily platform. And actually, as I just mentioned in the last paragraph, that self-realization is not attained by artificial means, but under the lotus feet of the Lord. So we actually need Krishna's mercy to be Krishna conscious. Oh, and Krishna's mercy is described that Krishna covers us when we desire to be covered. Because we have desire to forget Krishna, therefore Krishna covers us. So, but if we desire to realize the self, and if we desire to know who God is, then Krishna will guide us from within the heart. Tesha Mimanu Kamparthan, that Krishna actually guides from within the heart one who wants, is eager to realize the self. So any questions or comments? Yes, please. It's difficult to tell them.
But how does it signify? What is the principle? Is it important?
Yeah. Well, we don't focus so much on that. We just focus on the positive aspect of Krishna consciousness, because that generally scares people, because they are unable to do that, and the thing that is restricting them. So, because they like to have fun, so expose them to the fun elements of Krishna consciousness, and once they get a taste for that, then can introduce the other things later. So give them prasadam, get them to chant, you know, like that. Engage them in some service. But in, you can say, you know, if you can do what you want, why don't you live your life like that? When in their material life, they are following some rules and regulations. There's some level of discipline. So they're following the law and orders of the state. Why can't they just live the way they want? You know, it's just not so. But when it comes to their personal life, people want to be very free and independent. And the thing that to act in any way is independence. But they don't understand that to act in a very loose way, that is actually binding us to this world. And to act in a very loose way also has very negative consequences on the body and the mind. That when people live a very free lifestyle, so-called free lifestyle, in which their senses act very loosely, then they actually destroy their body and the mind. So they think that is freedom, to act in any way. But they actually can't see that they are actually controlled by their body and the senses. Their mind and the senses. It is dragging them everywhere. But real freedom actually comes when they follow some rules and regulations and they control themselves. Then they can say no to all these temptations. But at this point of time, whatever their mind tells them, they just do that. I feel like this, so I did like that, you know. I just do whatever I feel like. That's the mind is dictating them, basically. So you can say like that, you know, you're actually controlled, but they can't see that. Yes, please. You actually gave the answer. So, self-realization time factor depends on our sincerity. Basically, it can be in a lightning flash, or it can be millions of lifetimes. So, if you see the example of Maharaj Khatvanga, Maharaj Khatvanga achieved self-realization in a moment. So, when what was the past time? He was in the heavenly realm and he had fought for the, correct me if I'm wrong, he had fought for the demigods and he was very tired. Is that right? Maharaj Khatvanga, what was the, does anyone remember? Basically, he was, the demigods asked him, do you want a boon? And he said, yes. And they said, there's the good news and there's the bad news. So he said, okay, first tell me the bad news. He said, the bad news is that you're going to die in a moment's time. So then, in a moment, he surrendered to Krishna. In one moment. And he achieved self-realization and he went back to Godhead. So, because he was very sincere, you can even surrender in a moment. You know that you give up the false ego and you act on the platform of the real ego. Or it can take us, we know every morning we chant Bahu Janma Kariyari Shravana Kirtanam for, you know, for lifetimes we can be chanting Hare Krishna. But if we are performing devotional service in an offensive manner, it can actually take us lifetimes. So that it actually depends on us. And if what we desire, it all depends on our desires. It's like this is a story. Once a man was asking his guru, you know, why can't I become fully Krishna conscious? Why can't I be Krishna conscious? He said, because you don't want to be, his guru said. He said, what do you mean I don't want to be? I want to be Krishna conscious. He said, no, but you're holding on to so many material attachments and you're holding on to your material desires. Therefore, you don't want to be. He said, no, I want to be. He said, okay. Then he said, come tomorrow. And then his disciple went the next day and his guru was embracing a tree. And he said, Guru Maharaj, what are you doing? He said, I want to let go, but the tree is not letting me go. I want to free myself. He says, but you're holding on to the tree, you know. You just let go of the tree. And he said, no, but, you know, I can't let go because the tree is not letting me go. He said, but I want to let go, but I can't. And he said, just let go of the tree and you'll be free. So then he understood, the disciple understood, that actually because of our material desires, we are stuck in this material world because of our attachments, because we are not giving up our attachments. We are still not convinced that Krishna will protect us. We still have some doubts about Krishna. Because Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paritaja Maam Ekam Sharanam. Just surrender unto me and I will take care of you. I will get rid of your sinful reactions. But because that faith is still not fully there, therefore we are strongly holding on to our material desires that we can be happy independent of Krishna. So that is still there in all of us. That's why we are not fully Krishna conscious, because we still have that pride that we can be happy on our own endeavors. We don't need to listen to Krishna. But if we actually place our full faith in Him, then we are self-realized. So that depends on us, on our application of devotional service. So faith comes by serving the Vaishnavas, and then we get a taste for hearing these messages. Yes, Prabhuji. So well, right now we are in the diseased condition of life. We don't have real love for Krishna. We don't have the real taste and steadiness in serving Krishna. Therefore, we have to follow the process of sadhana bhakti. And when we cross beyond anartha nivritti, when the material contamination goes, then we become more steady. Then a taste comes, and then that taste gradually matures into bhava, which is a preliminary stage to prema, which is real love. So in bhava, that love is intensifying and then it matures into pure love of Godhead. So real love begins after anartha nivritti, in the advanced stages. Yes, to coming to prema, that's self-realization. But right now we don't have love. Yeah, so therefore right now we are acting on the platform of duty. And from duty, love will come. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it's rules and regulations which people don't like. So because we are diseased, so there's rules. When we are even sick, we go to a doctor. Doctor, of course, in Western medicine, they don't impose any rules and regulations. They say, just take this pill and eat whatever you want to eat, and you'll be fine. But in like Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic or naturopathy, they will actually impose a lot of rules and regulations and then give you the medicine. So it's like that. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. When you're angry with Krishna, why would you be angry with Krishna? Why would you be angry with Krishna? I'll tell you, but first you answer. Okay. What to do when you're angry with Krishna? Yeah, first you have to say why you're angry, then you can give the answer. The answer will be based according to that, why you're angry. Sorry? Oh, Bhishma. That was out of love. That wasn't out of anger. That was out of love. And Krishna felt like there's somebody is throwing flowers at him. But if you have to be angry at Krishna, some people are angry at Krishna, but you have to be really angry, you know. Then you get liberation. Like Shishupal and Kamsa, they were really angry. Of course, our anger is not like that. So, if you're angry at Krishna, I would suggest you try to understand Krishna. Then you won't be angry at him. So, try to understand Bhagavad Gita. Then you'll actually see Krishna wants your welfare. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.